convinced you want to be a painter." As far as I was concerned, this young man was in DNA denial. I gave him a painterly exercise, and he gave me a text-heavy response. A young man with painting in his genes would be rattling off colors immediately. Instead, his vivid use of language, "limpid blue does not come in tubes," suggested that he really ought to be a writer. It would be presumptuous of me to think I had him pegged for a writer, not a painter, after that brief encounter. But if I got him to re-examine what he's built for, then he was a step or two ahead of most people. I had a similar moment in my early years as a choreographer. I was at my work table making sketches of dancers in their costumes. As I leaned back to admire the sketches, there was a fleeting moment when I actually whispered to myself, I could have been a painter. I wonder how many people get sidetracked from their true calling by the fact that they have talent to excel at more than one artistic medium. This is a curse rather than a blessing. If you only have one option, you can't make a wrong choice. If you have two options, you have a 50% chance of being wrong. It's like a great high school athlete who plays football, basketball, and baseball equally well. If this athlete wants to continue playing sports at the highest collegiate level, at some point, he will have to commit to one sport over the others. He'll weigh a lot of factors. What comes naturally to him? What does he enjoy the most? In which sport does he have a natural advantage over the competition in terms of size, speed, endurance, and other critical measures? But in the end, the choice should be based on pure instinct and self-knowledge. What sport does he feel in his muscles and bones? What sport was he born to play? In my case, I fortunately banished the "I could have been a painter" thought out of my mind as quickly as it had appeared. Maybe I did have a talent for interpreting the world visually. Maybe I did have a knack for creating visual tableaus that entertained people. Maybe I did know how to arrange colors and objects in space. All of these are skills from the painter's toolkit. But even then I knew myself well enough to realize that no matter how much I enjoyed making sketches, the painter's life was not for me. I didn't feel it in my bones. I would tell my story through movement. Gotta dance. Exercises. 5. You can observe a lot by watching. Yogi Berra said that, and it's true. Go outside and observe a street scene. Pick out a man and woman together and write down everything they do until you get to 20 items. The man may touch the woman's arm. Write it down. She may run her hand through her hair. Write it down. She may shake her head. He may lean in toward her. She may pull away or lean in toward him. She may put her hands in her pockets or search for something in her purse. He may turn his head to watch another woman walking by. Write it all down. It shouldn't take you very long to acquire 20 items. If you study the list, it shouldn't be hard to apply your imagination to it and come up with a story about the couple. Are they friends? Would be lovers? Brother and sister? Work colleagues? Adulterers? Neighbors who run into each other on the street? Are they fighting or breaking up or falling in love or planning a weekend together or debating which movie they want to see? The details on your list provide plenty of material for a short story, but that's not the goal of this exercise. Now do it again. Pick out another couple. This time, note only the things that happen between them that you find interesting, that please you aesthetically or emotionally. I guarantee that it will take you a lot longer to compile a list of 20 items this way. You might need all day. That's what happens when you apply judgment to your powers of observation. You become selective, you edit, you filter the world through your particular prism. Now, study the two lists. What appealed to you in the second, more selective list? Was it the moments of friction between the couple, or the moments of tenderness? Was it the physical gestures, or their gazes away from each other? The varying distance between them, the way they shifted their feet, or leaned up against a wall, or took off their glasses, or scratched their chins. What caught your fancy is not as important as the difference between the two lists. What you included and what you left out speaks volumes about how you see the world. If you do this exercise enough times, patterns will emerge. The world will not be revealed to you. You will be revealed. 6. Pick a new name. Imagine you could change your name. What would you choose? Would it be a name that sounded good, or belonged to someone you admire? Would it make a statement about what you believe or how you want the world to approach you? What would you want it to say about you? This is not just an exercise in what if. It's about identity, who you are and aim to be. I've always thought my creative life began the moment my mother named me Twyla. It's an unusual name, especially when you combine it with Tharp. Twyla Smith just doesn't have the same ring, does it? My mother had seen the name Twyla in a clipping about the queen of a hog-calling contest in Indiana, and as she explained it, I changed the I to a Y because I thought it would look better on a marquee. She had big plans for me. She wanted me to be singular, so she gave me a singular name. If it's a parent's job to make children feel special, then my mother did her job well. To me, the name is fierce, independent, and unassailable. It can't be shortened to Twy or La, and it doesn't take a diminutive well. I have a good friend who always adds an affectionate Yiddish Leh to names, but Twyla Leh is too much even for him. It's a good name to have if you want to leave your mark in the world. More than anything, though, my name is original. It makes me strive for originality, if only to live up to the name. I am not exaggerating the magic and power invested in our names. Names are often a repository of a kind of genetic memory. Parents, who are the arbiters of all given names, certainly feel the power. That's why they name their children after ancestors or themselves.